This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Martin Sterner. Martin is a cotton producer and president of Plains Cotton Growers. He'll join us in just a moment. First off, Bart Kenner is a USDA economist, has the U.S. trade numbers for the first half of the fiscal year.
Agricultural exports for October through March fiscal year 2023 are $100.2 billion, down 1% from $101.6 billion this time last year. Agricultural imports are $98.9 billion, up 7% from $92.8 billion this time last year, for a trade surplus of $1.2 billion, which is down 86% from an $8.8 billion surplus this time last year.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Martin Sterner. Martin is a producer from Floyd County, Texas, also president of Plains Cotton Growers. Martin, welcome to the show.
Yes, Tony, I'm glad to be on. Appreciate you having me, and I appreciate all you do for the farmers of the area.
Well, thanks for the kind words, and really, we're going to talk about the things you're doing here in just a moment for producers and a trip you took to Washington, D.C., but before we get into that, let's set the stage by talking about your farm and your operation. First generation, or has the family been there for a while?
I guess I'd call it third generation. Now, my grandfather moved here from Central Texas and started farming here in Northwest Floyd County. And then, of course, I started in 76, I guess. So we're putting in our 47th crop this year. And so have received a little bit of rain and expecting more this week. So just keeping our fingers crossed for that.
Now, 47 years, you've seen quite a bit. I bet you've seen really wet years and you've seen really dry years. And actually, 10 years ago, we were dealing with some very dry conditions. The drought that we've been experiencing across the southern high plains, how would you compare it to maybe the past 47 years that you've seen?
Yeah. Of course, there's been about 3 years that stand out in those 47 years. One was probably 1980. We were in a period of transition from being fully irrigated all across all our acres to figuring out that we're not going to be able to water all those acres. And then along came some no-till and allowed that to be a profitable thing with less tillage. And then, of course, 2011 was the next year that kind of comes to mind, a year that we just had very little rainfall. 2012, we got twice as much, and that twice as much wasn't but about 5 inches. So, and then of course last year in 22 was another extremely dry year, and we're expecting maybe some rain this week, and hopefully that'll get a start for 2023.
Well, we're going to talk about Farm Bill here in a minute as well, because when you talk about 47 years, you're also talking about quite a few different Farm Bills through there. I would imagine somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 or 9 different Farm Bills. But before we get to that, let's talk about Plains Cotton Growers. You're president of Plains Cotton Growers. How did you end up getting involved with the organization?
Well, I guess about the turn of the century is when B&J Gin asked me to be their grower, their gin representative. Each gin that is represented has a representative for that gin, and then each county has a business director. But that's when I started right around 2000, being a representative of B&J Gin. And then, like I said before, I started campaigning for this position back then, but I didn't realize I was campaigning for it. I just got involved and went to the quarterly meetings. And when you show up, they'll put you to work And it's been a real, very rewarding experience for me to be asked to be president, and then to serve this past year, and then one more year on the term.
Now, how does Plains Cotton Growers, because I understand it, individual producers are not members. It's through your gin association. So how does the PCG organization actually work?
Yeah, the gin has their choice of being a member gin or not to be a member gin, and pays dues. Like you said, it comes out of the gin, and we appreciate those gins that realize that Plains Cotton Growers is a benefit on the legislative front, on the analysis of insurance programs, and even develop an insurance program with the seed endorsement. That was the year that was so dry. 2011 was the first year that the seed endorsement was available, and that was a product that Plains Cotton Growers developed. But we have a staff that is second to none. Five people on staff. Communications, policy analysis, and then we have a field agent that goes out in the field, and then we have office manager and CEO. So just quite a group of people on our staff that if the president does look good, it's all because of that staff.
Well, we oftentimes hear about work that groups are doing, like Plains Cotton Growers, when it comes to working to get products in place or policy in place that will help cotton producers. But you had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. Recently. How important is it to actually be a cotton producer in D.C. telling your story?
Yeah, it's quite a atmosphere to be in. There's of the 435 districts that are in the United States, just about a fourth of them have cotton grown in their district. So it's very important to reach out to those and educate those that don't have cotton in their district. We projected that maybe half of the House members that are in this legislature have never voted on a farm bill. But recently we've heard that maybe as many as 312 that are in the legislature have never voted on a farm bill. So education is going to be key, and just face-to-face is the best way to approach all those and get to know them, and repetition face-to-face too. So we visited several offices, both in the House and Senate, and then several fundraisers, and then I made a trip over to USDA and talked about the Farm Service Agency offices and the programs that are currently being administered through the FSA.
Now, on the farm bill side of things, again, you've seen quite a change. Freedom to Farm was in there. You also saw when the cotton program was pulled out of the farm bill. You've seen direct payments. You've seen the removal of direct payments in there. As we look forward to the 2023 farm bill, what are priorities that the cotton industry wants to see in that farm bill?
Okay. Of course, the most two recent farm bills, the 2014 and the 2018, 14 is when the cotton was actually removed from as a covered commodity, and Plains Cotton Growers was very helpful in getting cotton back into the farm program prior to the 2018 farm bill. But as the 2018 farm bill was written, we had reference prices that at that time were probably effective and relevant to the inputs that we had. And in the last 3 years, with higher input costs, the reference prices are certainly below cost of production. And each commodity that was up there in Washington testifying, that was their story, that reference prices that are used, if they were effective in 2018 Farm Bill, they become less effective now because of the higher input costs. So there'll be a push to raise the reference prices. And then cotton specific, there's a prohibition of course, stacks and being involved in stacks and the PLC program. And there's a push to allow a producer to be in stacks and the PLC program, thinking that the more people you get involved in stacks, spread the risk out. So those were two of the main priorities that we discussed, initiatives that we had in D.C.
Finally, we only have about a minute left, and you talked about getting involved with PCG roughly 20 years ago. How important is it for younger producers, the next generation of leaders, to step up, and what words of encouragement do you have for them?
Yeah, you know, it is very important that that the younger generation starts to be involved and like I said, whenever I started attending, I was somewhat younger, 20 years younger, but I was sitting in the back of the room just thinking I would never be asked to be president. But if the producers younger producers will get involved and just come to quarterly meetings, and someday they'll be asked to be president. So they just sit up and pay attention and be the leader someday. Yeah.
Well, again, Martin is the president of Plains Cotton Growers. He's a producer from Floyd County, Texas. You can keep up with Plains Cotton Growers online at plainscotton.org. That's plainscotton.org. Special guest today, Martin Sterner on the Agribusiness Report.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest, Texas cotton producer Martin Sterner.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Martin Sterner, our special guest, president, Plains Cotton Growers, online at plainscotton.org.
let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Life doesn't come with guarantees. But working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report.
New investments, partnerships, and resources for the Agriculture Innovation Mission for Climate.
AIM for Climate Partners have increased public and private global investment in climate smart agriculture and food systems innovation to more than $13 billion over 2020 levels. We're launching 21 new AIM for Climate Innovation sprints, each with a unique focus on a specific agriculture or food system challenge. This brings our total number of innovation sprints to 51. In just 2 years.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack making those announcements Monday at the plenary session of the AIM for Climate Summit in Washington, D.C. New additional partners, including governments from seven nations, now increases the total number of government, sprints, and knowledge partners within AIM for Climate to more than 500. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.